Well, I was thinking of Brother Rich. One time he was there in the Wichita meeting, and he said he was driving down the road, and the Lord started putting a message on his heart. So he found himself reaching around to find something to write on. And I can relate to that, because sometimes you're going along and the Lord may put a message on your heart and it just starts, you start writing on whatever's handy. So the Lord began to give me this message about Thursday. Kind of begin to write it out, what I call chicken scratch. And then it kind of sat there, and I didn't really get that much into it. And then I had plans to come down here to Guthrie. Still hadn't did much more with the message. Got up early this morning, about 4 o'clock. Thought, well, I'm going to go out and get me some walking in. I got to my truck and started to open the door, and the Lord was telling me, you go back and work on that message. So I did. I went back and worked on it. And as I said, I don't come here to preach, but I do want to obey God. I believe I could probably go to a meeting and just sit the whole meeting through and not preach at all. I enjoy hearing others preach. I remember one time I was at Monarch and I was so tired. I was so tired till I was starting to go to sleep during the singing. That's how tired I was. You know, the preacher got in the pulpit and started preaching. I started waking up. But you know, the word says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after the word of God, for they shall be filled. After righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it's a good thing to hunger and thirst after the things of God. I'd like for the congregation to turn to number 237. And I'd like for you to sing the first verse, please.
And count all its riches but dross. Oh, make of me what thou wilt have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Just fashion me to thine own pleasure, till thou shalt thine own image see.
The thought we have in our heart is the Holy Spirit versus our personality. Now, personality, the pattern of collective character, behavioral, temperamental, emotional, and mental traits of an individual. Now the songwriter says, oh, make of me what thou would have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Truly, it takes a work of the Spirit for the Lord to begin to actually make of us what he would have us to be. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, as we look at verse 6, says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling shall play on the hole of an asp, And the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocodile's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. You know, it's a very wonderful thing for the Lord to save us and to sanctify us and to begin to purge us. And a thought might be, do we still have some of our personality on hand? I would like to say that I believe that there are times that God can use our personality in his work. And there are times that our personality can get in the way of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord is able to take the person that has that wolf-like nature. I think about the song, I believe it says, he sanctified my nature. The Lord's able to take that person that has that wolf-like nature and change the nature of that person. Now I think about also when we begin to consider who we actually are, and when we begin to look at the Word of God, it's not that we always see ourselves exactly the way that we are. Because the Word of God speaks that all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. So a person that may have a wolf-like nature, they may feel that, well, this is just the way that things ought to be. You know, and sometimes we may say, well, that's just the way that I am. You know, but sometimes that's part of what we need to allow God to begin to purge out of us. Some of our own tendencies. Some of the things that we do that actually represent the way that we handle things in our natural man. You know, it speaks about the cow and the bear shall feed. Have you ever come across someone that just had a bossy bear nature too? You know, these things start out very young with us. If you want to really see how they work, you just go to a playground and begin to watch the children play. It doesn't take very long till somebody in there, and it may be just a little girl, I don't know, but she begins to start trying to organize everybody. Well, you're going to play this, and I'm going to play that, and he's going to play the other. I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong, because that can develop into some good organizational skills. But there are traits that we have many times at a very young age that we have. And so it speaks about the lion, the young lion and the fatling together. You know, some people are like a lion because they're very, very noisy. And they have a way of maybe instilling fear in other people. And then maybe they have a nature, they seem to be somewhat unpredictable. You don't know just what they're going to do. There are some people that are simply the life of a party when they get there. They're just loud. You know, all of us no doubt have different temperaments and different natures and different things about us, because we're not all the same. And I'd venture to say that even after God saves us and sanctifies us, we are still people that need the help of the Lord with who we are. Now in this song number 25, it says, Church of God, thou spotless virgin, Church of Christ for whom he died, thou hast known no human founder, Jesus brought thee for his bride. sanctified by God the Father, built by Jesus Christ the Son, tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Three in One. Now I'm going to bring that thought in that God wants to temper us by His Holy Spirit. That whoever or whatever we may be, He wants to temper us by His Spirit. Now I don't say that we're just going to be unrecognizable. There may be some traits that may still be there. But you know, the Word of God says that every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be brought low. You know, I believe God can take that person that's a lion and that person that's a bear, and God can tone them down a little bit. And then you got some people that are like a lamb and seem like they can't hardly make a squeak. You know, God can give that person boldness to move forward in God. Amen. There are actually people like that. You know, and there are some people that never get out beyond their natural man. Some people just revel on in that which they come with. In Luke, the 9th chapter, we have Jesus and the disciples. And it says in verse 53, "And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we should command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are." So do we actually know what manner of spirit that we are of? Do we actually know our own spirit as we go from day to day? Now in Acts, the 9th chapters, we begin to look at the Apostle Paul. He was a very bold man. He was a very bold man in the scripture. He was a very forceful man in the scripture. He was also a very bold man and a very forceful man before he came to God. In Acts, the 9th chapter speaks, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if there be any found in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So we find that somewhat of this bear-like nature at work. See, this may be this type of nature at its worst that comes in a place where it's willing to force other people to do things that they want them to do. You know, we have in this world pushy people. Now I'd say right in the midst of all them pushy people, you can find your Napoleons and you can find your Hitlers that are out there pushing their way in the world, that are out there imposing themselves upon other people. And a lot of times that's their personality. Now you can find that also, may the Lord help us, within the people of God. You know, the policemen in the church, those who seem to take pleasure in setting people up and setting people down. And feeling like a it's their responsibility to tell other people what they ought to be doing. You know, but there's also a positive side of that same personality. Now, I would venture to say, you look over in Matthew, the 25th chapter. You know, these same people, you look at the Apostle Paul and how he was before he got saved, persecuting people. You know, when God saved him, he was a great achiever. He said, I labored more than they all. See, God still left him with that desire to get out and work for the... Well, he wasn't working for the Lord at first. But he still had a desire to do for God. Matthew 25 and 16, well, God gave him a desire to stop doing the things of the world and start working for God. Now, Matthew 25 and 16... It says, now he gave, verse 15, he gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. See, these are some of your achievers, high achievers, that are able to accomplish a lot in life. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You know, there are some people that have to actually contend with that, and they should be in a place to begin to realize, you know, this is the way that I am. One of my great problems is fear. And begin to actually look to God that, Lord, eradicate me from my fear. See, in Matthew, the 25th chapter in verse 5, the man that just hid his talent, he said, I was afraid. You know, a lot of people let their lives actually be ruled by fear. You know, and a lot of their counsel is according to fear. A lot of the things they do and don't do, they're actually captivated by fear. It's not necessarily that God is leading them to do anything, but it's fears that are in the way. The slothful man said, there is a lion without. See, I'm just not going out. There's a lion out there that has something to do with the way that he thinks. I'm just afraid. And I hid thy talent in the earth. You see, but God doesn't want us to be in a place where we're just simply taken over by fear. You know, and then you have people that are some of the most lively people that there are. Those that are the life of the party. Those that just seem like they're always bubbly. I know the word of God says that, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And it goes on down to say that my cup runneth over. You know, there are people that have a personality that seem like their cup is just always running over. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, there's some people that actually look at things differently. You ever heard them talk about whether the cup is half full or half empty? It's just from your perspective. It just depends on how you look at it, how you view things. We don't all view things alike. We don't all view problems alike. Therefore, we come to different conclusions as we go along the way. Some people are the life of the party. Some people just very lively. Some people are very talkative. Some people are quiet. You know, and sometimes people that talk a lot, they just have a lot to say. In Mark, the 9th chapter, as we look at verse 5, and there they are, On the mountain it says that there appeared unto them Elias and Moses where they were talking with Jesus. You know, and some people just have a way of simply opening up their mouth and inserting their foot. And not only just once in a while, but it seems to be just a habitual type thing. And if you don't understand that that's the type of person they are, you will be expecting them to change, or you will be expecting something else out of them. But you know, you find Brother Peter there. And so Peter says, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." For he wist not what to say, for he was so afraid, but he was in a place where he just felt like, you know, something's got to be done, while somebody else may be sitting back and marveling at the goodness of God. You know, but Peter was involved in other instances. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, Peter is going along, and we want to bring out in some ways, sometimes we have to look back and realize that, you know, there are things that we may do, even as the people of God. You know, we want to actually be led by God. We want to be in a place that we are sure that God's Spirit is leading us. I know I do. Sometimes I question myself. But I really want to be led by God's Spirit. You know, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and Peter, to me, is a lively type person. You ever come across someone that just seem like whatever it is, they just want to turn it into happy, happy, happy? You know, and to me, that makes a real good encourager. We were there in the local congregation, and the Sunday school teacher brought up a point which to me was a terrifying point. But we were thinking about the different congregations over there in Revelation. And he began to point the arrows in, and he talked about analyzing ourselves as a congregation. And in my own mind, I began to do some analyzation. And to tell you truthfully, it was not looking all that good. You know, and another sister, it came her turn. I kind of kept my thoughts to myself mostly. But she piped up and she said something like, "We're a vibrant congregation." And she said, "We're on fire for God." And when she got through with it, I was surprised. But you know, I thought about, I want to send her out as a representative. I like the way she looks at things. You know, one time a sister came to me and said, "How you doing?" I think I said something like, "Well, pretty good by the grace of God." She said, "Pretty good? Is that all you can do?" I said, "Yeah, that's about it." She said something like, "I'm feeling real good. I'm blessed." You know, that's the way she looked at things. You know, but sometimes a person that may just revel and, you know, it's so good to be blessed, but, you know, just seem like, you know, I can't handle anything that looks negative. And then you take a person, you know, that's kind of down on things and seem like they can't see nothing good. Oh, it's just a doom day. You know, somebody's sick and they have three or four funerals while a person is still living. Oh, it's just bad. You know, but then it turns around and God moves and heals to the glory of God. But see, a lot of that they was fighting, they were just fighting the imagination of their minds, some of them. See, and then you take a person that's happy, 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 and he's like the man, you know, that sit down to build a building, but he don't sit down and take an account what it's actually going to take to finish it. Just jump into it. Well, it'll work out. And he don't sit down and count the cost. You know, and some people have that personality. They sit down and they count the cost every penny. Oh, and it's like we just can't do it. We just don't have enough to be. We just can't because they have no faith in God. You know, but God wants us to have faith in God. Amen. But I don't believe God is telling us to go out and jump over a cliff. But I believe God would have us to have faith. You know, sometimes there are bad things that come our way and we need to be in a place that we can listen to God and accept that this is what God is wanting to do. You know, I just don't want to believe it. No, 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 no. To me, Brother Peter was a happy man. You know, and bad news wasn't something he wanted to deal with. So Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 21, it says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show the disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise up again the third day. You know, there's a whole lot of bad news. You know, and some people just can't handle bad news. And there's been bad news that I couldn't handle. You know, one way to do that is just going to denial. You know, when my father passed, I wasn't trying to, but I kept going back to reality and slipping back into denial. You know, sometimes seem like you're comprehending it, and sometimes your mind just goes in denial like it's not happening. But anyway, Peter, he comes up, and then Peter took him. Now think about it. Peter took him, took Christ, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Well, I want to tell you one thing. That was not the Spirit speaking through Peter. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. There are times that we need the Holy Spirit leadership. Not just running on what we can do naturally or what we think naturally. You ever had somebody come to you for counsel? And you find yourself reaching in your pocket back there trying to come up with something that may work. You know, well, my intellect says this and my intellect says that. I just had a council session last night. You know, and I just feel before God that I don't know what to do. And I really didn't. And I just had to plead and beg God, give me understanding. You know, we can face life's problems as a natural man can see. But what does the Spirit actually say? You know, we can feel so strong within ourselves. And you have Brother Peter again over there in Matthew, Mark, the 14th chapter. And Christ is saying in verse 27, and Jesus answered them, all shall be offended of me because this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, though all shall be offended, yet will I not. But Jesus actually knew, and I'm not trying to put like Peter in a bad way, but some people, you know, they can be spontaneous, jump into this and jump out of that and different things. But in actuality, they actually have a wishy-washy personality. And Jesus is saying unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock shall crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. I don't care what the Spirit is saying, but he spake more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. We all know that Peter did deny. There are things sometimes that we ourselves don't understand about ourselves. And we get caught up in a corner, then we wonder, why, Lord, why could I not come out the way that I actually should have came out? Because sometimes we allow who we are to enter in and have a part in what we're doing. And I mean, it takes special strength from God sometimes to be able to recognize that this is the Spirit. This is actually me. Lord, help me to be moved by the Spirit, not by my own inclinations. In Galatians, the second chapter, verse 11, and when he was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now, this is brother Peter. This is the way that he is. This is the same Peter that is filled with the Holy Ghost, that is walking along. And God's so blessed that people are actually healed in his shadow. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before and after certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. When the others come down from Jerusalem and he began to see them there, you know, Peter, he began to get afraid and withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. You know, the personality that, you know, I just like everybody to think well of me. So when there comes to a place where I should be standing flat-footed up on the word of God, I find myself veering off. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That's not the first time that he was rebuked. You know, and then you have Brother David way over there in 1 Samuel. You know, when you begin to look at David a little bit, maybe there's some inklings of things there to be surmised upon, and maybe you do not see those things, but you find there that in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, there you find that David has come down and the battle is going on. And you begin to look at some of the good side of this spontaneous personality. You can see it on one side where, you know, you have Peter over there and he's just opening his mouth and putting his foot inside. Well, there's a lot of talking that's going on, but there's also something there that is spontaneous. You know, there are some people that they need everything planned out. They like everything in order. You know, and I attest, the scripture says that there is a time and a place for everything under the sun. So when you begin to actually look at Solomon and you begin to see that, you know, he's a very orderly man and he likes all his ducks in a row. You know, and he in the scripture, you see that, you know, he sought out things and he looks into this and he looks into that and he likes to lay out everything in order. And then there are spontaneous people. And these people with all this in order, they get on their nerves. You know, because this person that likes to have order, he has a good old tendency to get order and just stay in order and keep doing order. And pretty soon he just kind of gets in the same old rut. That's a tendency that he has to deal with. And somebody else is spontaneous. They're just tired of all that order in the first place. It's just a part of them.
You ever seen a president? If you've been watching a little bit, you know the president, he don't want to use all them prop twos and things that people want to give him to give for his speeches. He just want to go spontaneous, what I feel at the moment.
And there might be some times where he's put his foot in his mouth, so to speak.
But it's actually a part of who he is. You know, so David come down and he's viewing the battle and everything. You know, why is everybody going this way and going that way? And finally they begin to break it down to him. You know, it says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, another thing, they can be quick-tempered. You know, back when David was, Nathan the prophet come to him and said, you know, about the sheep and everything. And David said, the man that done this thing shall surely die. But David is there. Everybody else is looking over the situation and monitoring everything and looking at it and realizing that, you know, this man, I don't even come up to his shoulders or whatever. He's way bigger than everybody else, you know, and it comes along and, you know, here's David coming on the scene. And David says, what should be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, maybe sometime he don't take the time to think it all over, but it gives an opportunity for faith to actually move in, praise the Lord. Where some people are just so overtaken with going through all the mully grubs and, well, how much does he weigh and how far can he throw and what happened? Let me see the statistics of all his battles and let me get it all, see if I can handle this. But he went forward in faith. See, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He knew about David and how he was and how he does and the things he'd already done. For one thing, he was probably a mouthy little boy, always running his mouth and stuff. And he said, why comest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride. I know the way you are. I know the way you handle things. I know the way your mouth runs. You're always talking about what you're going to do. And I got my doubts about that lion and bear you killed anyway. I think that lion was just a little cub. And the bear probably wasn't all that big. You know, there are always going to be people ready to cut you down to size. And he said, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. I've been around you. I don't like the way your attitude is. It's hard for me to deal with your personality, so to speak. Now see, you look back in the scripture and you find where Samuel came down to anoint a king. And everybody was there but David. My understanding, it wasn't happenstance. My understanding is they got rid of David. Because David was always one when company come around. You know how some children, we think that, well, children are to be seen and not heard, but seemed like David was one that would be heard. He liked to get in front of the company telling his little riddles and his little stories and all these different things and entertaining people and such as that. And they decided, you know, Samuel's coming. Let's get him out of here. That's what I understand from history. But see, God saw something that he could actually use. God could use all of us. So David moved forward spontaneously under the unction of the Spirit of God. And God so blessed him that he was able to actually go and conquer Goliath. There is no perfect personality. At least I don't believe there is. You know, and I'd like to say also that too much of a good thing is not a good thing. That's why we need to be tempered. That's why we need God to help us with how we do. There was a man, Robert E. Lee. And I believe when he went to the college or the school for soldiers, he come through with no demerits. Now, if you want to talk about a perfectionist, I believe he was with no demerits. And the thing about it, he was such a perfectionist that his daughters could not find anybody that would suit him to marry. See, there's a downside. But you find Brother Peter over there, the same one that's, you know, were denying the Lord, the same one that was speaking about that, Lord, let's make two tabernacles, the same one that Peter later on rebuked. Acts the second chapter and verse 14. It said, with Peter standing up with the leaven. You know, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up with the leaven. Everybody else was there, but Peter moved in the unction of the Spirit of God in the same manner as David did long years before. Peter standing up spontaneously. I don't believe that he had the matches all together, but I believe he stood up and God started filling his mouth. Like he said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Now, some of us need to get every detail of our message together. I happen to be one of those type. You know, but some people actually do better with spontaneous speaking. Amen. Martin Luther King Jr., when he was pastoring, he would sit down and write out his whole sermon. Then he would leave it right there on the bench and get up and preach. I ain't trying that. Believe it was Jesse Jackson. Almost flunked speech class. Because he couldn't seem to articulate and put on paper the things he was going to say. But there again, he was simply a spontaneous speaker. We're all different. You know, but Peter got up and preached, bless his heart. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized the same day, were adding to them 3,000 souls. You see what God can do? Whoever, however you might be, tempered by the Holy Spirit. You know, then you get into those that are so meticulous. You know, I like everything a certain way. You all the ducks lined up in a row. And move that duck a little bit. It's a little bit out of line. Get it all lined up. And the more you line it up, the better I feel. And it's very tedious to be sure that I've got everything in place. And sometimes it can actually create a personality clash. In Luke, the 10th chapter. And it speaks there that he went to the village to a certain woman whose name was Martha, received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. You know, we need some people that are actually going to serve. But you know, it says that Martha was cumbered about. You know, I don't know, maybe she was a little bit too particular. You know, wanting everything just right. After all, we've got some guests. You know, and I don't get into that because I'm not a woman. But you know, I believe there can be a certain amount of, I'll say, good feeling that comes when you get everything in its place. You know, and it was probably a certain type of people that came up with the idea that, well, you know, your plate goes here, and your fork goes over here, and your extra fork goes over here, and your other thing goes over there, and you line everything up just right.
You know, and I can see Sister Martha just getting everything lined up just right.
You know, and I can see Mary coming in and trying to help. You know, I see Mary as one of those that, well, you know, it's not really matter that much just how it is. Just fix it and let's go. You know, and Martha having to come right behind her and refix everything that she does. You know, she didn't fix this right. And the tables are not right, and the spoons are not in the right place, and all these things are not where they need to go. And Mary finally decided, you know, it doesn't make any sense for me to be trying to help at all because she just redoes it anyway. There was a man one time, bless his heart, and I don't know the full story, and maybe I don't really want to know the full story. But somehow he got into this thing that everything his wife did, he'd just go back and redo it. If she washed the dishes, he'd come along and wash them again. If she cleaned the windows, he'd have to clean them again. You know, we can actually go too far with a thing. And when you boil it down, it's not because we're actually led to the Spirit of God. A lot of these things go back to who we are and our personality. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. You know, some people just go through life and they don't seem to hardly even make a plan. You know, some people start out before they go to bed and have an idea of what they want to do the next day. Some people don't have a clue. And you know, some of those that make their plans the night before, it can be some time that it don't make no difference what happens the next day. I'm going to go ahead and fulfill my plans. I'm going, I decide to do it, and I'm going to do it.
Do we leave any room for the Holy Spirit leadership?
You know, when Mary was more flexible, you know, those people that get on your nerves sometimes just feel like, well, I just don't know what we can do. I just have to wait till the moment comes and then I'll decide what to do. But you know, when it all came and Jesus was there and Mary actually felt, you know, the place for me to be is right there at Jesus' feet.
But there are things. Sometime, you know, and Peter's saying, bid me come to thee. You know, and sometimes, may God help us. We can get into a place where it's actually hard to tell whether we're actually walking in the Spirit as the Scripture brings out to us, or are we walking in our spirit?
Martha was cumbered. You know, Elijah's up there. You know, and he's talking to all the people. He says, I'm the only one left. You know, there are people that just feel that way. Just feel that everybody's against them. Then there are people that just feel that everybody loves me.
One woman, she had two children. I guess one boy said, my mommy loves me, my daddy loves me, everybody loves me. And the other little boy was feeling like nobody likes me. Neither one of them were correct, because everybody don't love you. And you may feel like nobody loves you, but there is somebody that loves you, praise the Lord.
But anyway, Elijah's up there and he's, you know, all the prophets of Baal, and he calls to the congregation, lets them know if God be God, then serve him. You know, and if not, you know, serve Baal. And it says, they answered him not a word. What do you think he was feeling right there? Some people just have a negative outlook.
But you know, sometimes God wants to use people that have a negative outlook.
You know, I often think about old brother Jonah out there. You know, but I believe God wanted a particular prophet for a particular thing. He had a sad message, a great warning, and he wanted a certain person to deliver it. And Brother Jonah was a negative man anyway.
Well, you don't think he was? How are you going to preach and all them people turn to God and you're still upset? All you can do is see the bad side of it. Just see the bad side. Elijah's there. I'm the only one left.
You know, it seemed like one man said, I'm the only one following me and my family. We're the only ones following the truth.
And sometimes I wonder about them.
The only one. You know, but with the Spirit, to me, that was his personality. But when the Spirit kicked in, he prayed, and the fire came down from heaven, praise the Lord. You know, but God told him, yet I have 7,000, I believe, that haven't bowed the knee. See, I'm the only one left. That was not inspired of God.
You know, we can think some things that actually don't come from God. And sometimes we can do some things that are not inspired of God. You know, and the place for us to get in is to get into a place in the Lord, some way, somehow, help us that we can actually discern the difference that, Lord, is this something just about me that I'm feeling this way? Or is this something that is inspired of your Spirit? Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, walk in the Spirit. We don't want to be found walking in our own spirit, doing things in ourselves and feeling like, you know, I believe that God really wanted me to do that. And sometimes they blow up. And, they, you know, if we're honest, we can realize that, Lord, you know, I look back and there were some places where I feel that, you know, where I actually came forward instead of the Spirit of God coming forth. Then you get people so that are so meticulous. Luke 18 and 10, you know, and the man's there and he's beginning to. Pharisee stood and prayed within himself. You know, it's something when you can actually get all your ducks in a row and everything lined out, you know, and all the things you're doing and just, you know, some people like to just write everything down, everything I've done, and just keep track of it. You know, as you look back on the years, it looks good. Lord, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this public. And you know, like I've been keeping track of everything I'm doing. And I fast twice a week, mark it on my calendar somewhere. I give tithes of all that I possess. Here's my record for the last 10 years of everything that I've given. You know, it is possible to actually fall into a form. Just having a form. Just getting into it. That this is what I do, the same old, and end up with an empty form. Empty profession. You know, in good people, things can happen to them. Acts the 15th chapter, and you got Paul and Silas over there. You know, and I read these things for our benefit that we can see where we are sometime. And it says in Acts, the 15th chapter and verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And I find it hard to believe that I can say that both of these brethren were actually speaking from the Spirit of God and both of them were actually inspired of God in the midst of this. I believe it was something else working. That's okay, we don't have to get an amen.
But I must say the Spirit of God does not work that way. You know, and sometimes we have to look back at business meetings and realize that, Lord, that right there, I don't believe I was led by your Spirit. Or maybe in such a minister's meeting that, Lord, I don't believe that I was actually led by your Spirit right here. Lord, help me. You know, the songwriter said, I want to walk as close as I possibly can. You know, when I think about, there's something about striving to live for God. You know, there's something revealing about it. And I think about what God was saying about Daniel. And the way I'm going to say it this way, that, you know, others may see it about us, but I believe that when we start seeing it about ourselves, we're in trouble. It says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Can you say amen that I'm there? Help us, Lord. Now, I believe this is what they were saying about Daniel. Now, I don't know that Daniel felt this way about himself. But I believe when we begin to feel that way about ourselves, we're getting in trouble. If you really feel you have no fault or you have no error, anything about you at all, go ask your family, go ask your wife, go ask your children. You know, the word of God speaks that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. You know, the thought about somebody might say, oh, that's me. They wanted somebody to speak as the oracle of God. That's me. You know, sometimes we feel we are so right in the way we feel. We are so right with the decisions that we make. You know, they had some of that going on back in Daniel's day. You know, and that's one thing that happened when they wanted to throw Daniel in the lion's den. The king decided, you know, I made a bad decision. Then these men assembled unto the king, verse 15, and said unto the king, now, O king, the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king has established may be changed. In other words, this fellow, you almost like a god and you can't change it. You're so perfected that you don't make any mistakes. And then he turned around and make another decree. You know, sometimes I think as a people of God, we need to stop making decrees and just stay with the Bible. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I just speak as an oracle of God, and what I lay down is good. Well, sometimes we need to stay with the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something else. It's a strange language. At least I haven't heard much of it. And may God help me maybe to incorporate more of it in my conversation and more of it in my messages. You know, I don't really have to say this because I know that every word that proceeds out of my mouth is anointed of God, and I don't make any mistakes. But when you look at the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and verse 6, he says, but I speak this by permission. And not by commandment. In other words, he's putting a clause in here that, you know, this is actually my personal opinion about this. When's the last time you used that one? In verse 12, he says, but to the rest speak I and not the Lord. In other words, I'm giving you my personal opinion about this. When's the last time you had a brother say that? Now, everything I lay down is just the law. But I believe that sometimes we do well to realize that as we walk in human flesh, there are some things that are simply our opinion. You know, the Apostle Paul was there. You want to say that we never get there? I don't believe that we're better than he is. At least I know that I'm not. May the Lord help you and I.
that as we live a life with the desire, that by the grace of God, from time to time, we can step back and begin to see where we are. You know, they probably still have it. Sometimes it's pretty close. You know, you got Elijah over there, and one time he's saying that I'm the only one left, and then he's calling down fire from heaven. If we ain't careful, sometimes we're going to find ourselves walking in our own personalities and then walking in the Spirit. Amen. Till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. They had some trucks out there, and I don't know, they probably still got them. They could run on propane and run on diesel. And you'd probably be hard pressed to tell when one was kicking in, the other one was kicking out. How is it with us running on our own personality and being led by the Spirit? Do we actually know the difference ourselves sometimes? But the songwriter said, Spirit holy, all my being now possess. To me, that's something that, Lord, have mercy. That's something I'm working toward. Something I want more of it by the grace of God. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. It says, lead me, rule me, work within me, through my life, thy will express. In a place that by the grace of God, more and more I'm moving out. And more the Spirit of God has taken over. Pray for me.